Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
So funny.
You want to know?
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is what you're listening to on AFR. I'm Tim with Walker Wildman. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning again, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Or good afternoon. Are you in the Eastern time zone?
Let's see. Let me look where I am in the
Central
room.
I think we're in the same time zone.
I think we're close enough to Central.
Your chair is slanting if you get down to the wall, I think. Then you're in the Eastern time zone.
Just a couple hundred miles away.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City, Kansas. Home for a few weeks, or when you got to go back there?
Yeah, and hey, it's 29 degrees here this morning.
Oof.
It was 72 yesterday, so it dropped almost 50 degrees. And
wow.
I know, talking about weather
whiplash.
I know.
Steve Jarrell's in studio with us. Yeah. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So you're telling me that weather front you're talking about sweeping across the country.
That's right. There's a lot of cold air behind it, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you one thing I'm looking forward to about heaven is no more cold weather.
I'm with you.
And, of course, I know that when I here in Mississippi complain about cold weather, the people in Minnesota go, you just look at me with a blank stare.
Come up to Minneapolis for a few
Can't believe
days,
you're bringing this up. And in Kansas City, Kansas City as well, it can get cold. But I saw, let me look here just a minute. Ray, what's your weather for next Tuesday there in Kansas City? Look that up.
All right, I will. I'm
going to look mine up here.
Next Tuesday?
We're about tomorrow night here in Northeast Mississippi. We're going to be down in the 20s. The high 20s.
Good night.
Yeah, but look at next week. I saw something next week like was apocalyptic.
Like in the teens?
Well, and some snow. I mean, a heavy snow.
Like in the Bible. It's a
high of 43 next Wednesday.
Ray,
it's going down to 10 degrees here next Monday night.
To Tim's point.
That's what I'm talking about Monday night. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, to Tim's point earlier a minute ago about, up north people laughing at us in the south. You know, up north, you know, it can rain. I mean, it could snow up a foot, and everybody still goes to school and work.
Right.
But if it snows an inch here, we're done. Everything's canceled.
Oh, the milk's cleared out of
it. Close it.
You can't forget milk and bread for a month.
Gas tanks are empty.
You grew up in Alabama, though. You know about this, Ray.
I do. Forget going to Walmart because it's sold out, gone empty shelves.
You get up to 4 inches, you're talking about the National Guard coming out.
That's right. Terrible things start happening.
Steve, I was in, and Ray and Walker, I experienced this firsthand. Was it last year or the year before last? Allison, my wife, and I, we had to go to, we were getting ready to go on our Holy Land trip, so we were meeting our group in New York. So we went up the day before to the, and stayed at a hotel near the Newark Airport. And we went a day ahead and even had to change our flight to get ahead of a snowstorm that was coming in to up the East Coast. And you talk about a foot, Walker. I watched it snow 1 foot in like 8 hours.
Wow.
Something like that. It was unlike anything I'd ever obviously seen in my life. But I'm telling you, within 2 hours,
right?
They had the roads cleared.
Right.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but certainly within.
But they know how to handle that, right? They got the salt trucks.
The traffic's still going on. I mean, they slowed down for a couple. Now this was on the main roads, but Steve,
you're talking about a boy who lived in Colorado for the last 15 years. So no, I'm laughing along with Ray here at this. I remember being in Colorado in a blizzard once, where I was singing at my church, so I went there early to go with the band and everything, and then they had to cancel church because it was so bad. So I was stuck
in Colorado.
In Colorado, I was stuck at this church, and I had a 4-wheel drive. I had a Jeep Wrangler. Couldn't get out of the park. Couldn't see to get out of the parking lot. I tried. My Jeep Wrangler got stuck. I had to walk back to the church. I was maybe 100 yards away from the church. I walked toward the church. I missed it by 20 yards, didn't even see it.
Wow.
It was off to the right. It broke. I would have gone off into the field.
Well, you see how people get in bad trouble. And
it was maybe 10 yards, maybe from here to that wall, and I
you
could not
see
it.
Well, like a thick fog.
Yeah, but it was snow. Yeah. It was just
To cut those of us in the South a little bit of slack, we don't have the same equipment and capabilities as those in the North do. So you get past a few inches in the South.
Well, also we're in shell shock.
When you get
6-7 inches of snow, it's just. But yeah, I'm looking at next. When did you say it was, Ray? The next Monday.
Right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. I mean,
but
they're
the next
talking
Tuesday for us.
Yeah, Snowmageddon coming through in Dallas, I think, and up from there.
Monday night, wintry mix. That's what it says for here.
That's snow and rain.
Cool.
And then 19 on Tuesday night.
Bread and milk this afternoon.
God
here
bless
we come.
God bless America.
There you go.
I just don't think I'm going to, 19 in November. These people need to give up their global warming dreams because it's going the other way, it seems to me. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Steve, first story.
Our good friend Bob McGinnis is putting out a dire warning.
Who is he, for those who don't know?
Bob McGinnis is a Pentagon analyst, an author, and a Fox News contributor. You've seen him there.
Yes.
And you've heard him on our air. And he is saying, and I'm going to read from him, we have a clip from Frank Gaffney, who is with the Center for Defense Security Policy, which we'll talk about in a second. But Bob McGinnis writes, "Wake up and understand America is being incredibly naive about Chinese plans, and there's no exaggeration the Chinese intend to." And this is his words. He's a cautious man. Take over the world using technology, specifically 5G. Now, what is 5G? 5G is this next generation of internet. It is sometimes known as the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. It's 2,000 times faster than the 4G that most of us can't even get. We're still on 3G or whatever, our phones. But this is the things that helps you run your house. You tell Alexa to lock the doors and turn out the lights, and you can start your car remotely and all this stuff. That's 5G technology. Well, if the Chinese, through their corporate entities like Huawei, who are heavily invested in, the government is heavily invested in them, they are looking to corner the market in 5G. I want you to hear what Frank Gaffney says could happen if they get mean and mischievous with it.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about how this could translate into problems, it's not just that the grid could go down
power
their direction and stay down until literally, you know, we've lost America as we know it. Including perhaps as much as 90% of our population within a year. But beyond that, there is now developing as a sort of cutting-edge idea in the technology space a totally connected infrastructure, and not just, you know, national infrastructure, but inside your own home. Everything from your toaster oven to your refrigerator to your dishwasher to the locks on your front door to the car you drive, all of which will be relying upon telecommunications infrastructures, if the Chinese have their way, that they will control.
Yes.
You're telling me the Chinese government, Walker, is going to control my van?
Well, it does sound...
Are you serious?
It
does sound far-fetched, but let me expound on in layman terms what Frank Gaffney there is talking about, and he's an expert on China, by the way. What Frank is talking about is, and I know him personally, that's why I'm saying Frank, he's talking about who builds the technology, all right? So who builds our phones, our tablets, who builds the antennas that shoot off the 5G signals here domestically, who builds that technology? And the concern that some of these Chinese experts are having is that the Chinese government and their subsidiaries are going to develop faster and more affordable 5G technologies, and U.S. companies like AT&T, Verizon, etc., they're going to be buying up Chinese technology and installing it domestically. And we've already had cases where the Chinese government or their subsidiaries subsidiaries where they have different, where they have implanted bugs and viruses when they built it in China, and then they can control it once it's installed domestically in the U.S. So that's kind of the that's the concern.
Wow, what do we do about that, Steve?
Well, President Trump has this 5G at the top of his list on trade when he's talking with China on trade.
Yeah,
he's sanctioning Huawei, and there's
what is Huawei?
Huawei is the is a telecom company in China. It's the largest company over one of the largest companies over there, and it is wholly owned by the government, and it's integrated with the military.
Yeah,
over there as well.
Yeah, and they do make Google's Android phones. Mm-hmm. They make some of Google's phones that are used here domestically. One case of what this would look like. Is and this is not this wasn't a Chinese hack that we know of, but one of the clouds, I think it was Google Nest, their cloud service or their server farm up in the Northeast went down for like a day or two, and all the people who use the smart home security system called Nest, where it unlocks your doors, you know, it controls your lighting and your heating and cooling, it's all on the internet, their cloud service went down. And there were people that couldn't get into their own home because their smart lock wouldn't work. And they didn't have a hard physical key.
When did this happen?
This happened a few months ago.
Oh.
And it was some kind of glitch in the system. But it shows you when you start integrating crucial things like your door locks and your vehicles into the internet, it has to be very secure and it has to be made here domestically.
We've been talking about Chinese espionage through these companies. If you go to do business in China, they need to know the ins and outs of all. They ask for the blueprints. And the patents of your technology, they have no concern for them except that they want to steal them. And so right now, most of we think of the Chinese threat as economic. They could kind of put a chink into our stock market or whatever if they devalue the dollar or whatever. But I think if they had a malicious intent towards us as a country, if they really wanted to wipe us out, what Frank Gaffney and Bob McGinnis are saying is we're vulnerable.
Let me just say this to get Ray's thoughts on. Well, Ray, go ahead and comment on what Walker's talked about.
I'm sitting here thinking about this because while Frank Gaffney was talking, I checked my phone. I'm on 5G. I suspect a lot. And, you know, I didn't sign up for that. It just, boom, it hit this part of Kansas City. So, boom, we're on 5G. Hmm. Is that why Siri is talking to me in Chinese? I mean, on the consumer end? Is there something that we can do or should do?
Tell
Siri. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And Alexa?
Yeah.
Talk English.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them you need to speak English to me.
Yeah. Ray, there are certain things you can do on a consumer end that are, you know, strong passwords, don't get on unknown Wi-Fi networks.
Right.
Those are basic
right.
things. But when you're talking about things like who builds the 5G technology, really, it's up to the Trump administration to regulate that. And he's trying to – we need 5G technology built either domestically or with our allies,
right.
like Taiwan.
Let me come back to – leave the small stuff aside because what he said was that China wants to take over the whole world through technology, not through military, not through bombs, not through atomic warfare, but through technology. That's a terrifying thought because so much of our technology is coming out of Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just say this, a word of hope and optimism on this front. And I completely understand and share the views of you guys here in our concern about this. And certainly Frank Gaffney painted a doomsday scenario right there. And I'm not saying his scenario that couldn't happen if things progressed with this 5G controlled by the Chinese like he's talking about. However, let me just remind us all that the United States of America and China, I sounded like Trump, didn't I? China, the United States of America, the good old US of A, our homeland here, and China, we are joined at the hip. Economically,
right?
We need each other, and we depend on each other. And so, while you know, it would not behoove China, it wouldn't serve their interest to see the economic collapse of the United States, because then they wouldn't have anybody to buy their tennis shoes, okay, or anything else that's sold in our stores all over America. One time I went into Walmart, and Walmart's not the only, I could name Target or whoever, Best Buy, whatever, you could name stores. You go in and just start randomly picking up any product, and look at the back of it. 50% of it's going to be made, 50% or more, depending on what the product is going to be made in China. So I'm just saying that, yes, while China is our adversary ideologically on a political level, that is, they are obviously a communistic totalitarian state, they still... like money, okay, and they know that their greatest trading partner is the U.S. So, I don't know. I'm just saying that I'm adding that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. They're not gonna. I don't think China would be smart not to launch a wide scale attack on the U.S.
They don't want to see the demise of the United States.
Yeah,
economy. Now they may they're gonna have differences with the. With the Trump administration on trade tariffs and things like that. But go ahead.
Steve. Just wondering what happens when some malicious terrorist type group gets a hold of the ability to hijack 5G. Then you can see the power grid going down or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a North Korea, somebody who's unstable.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could happen.
Not that I want to rain on your sunny parade.
I think one of the main concerns...
Well, that's always an issue, isn't it? Every day we live, that some terrorist group gets in charge of...
Right.
One of the main drivers, I think, that's pushing Frank Gaffney and others is not just these worst-case scenarios, but being whether or not we're going to be reliant on adversaries like China for the technology.
Not that they want to destroy us, but are we going to be dependent where we have to bow the knee to China because we're subservient to them, right? So then it's not, I'm talking about a physical war launching weapons, but where they say, okay, you do this, you do that, and we have no choice but to do this or do that because because our way of life depends on our relationship with them, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
Exactly.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to check us out online, go to Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. We live video stream the show there, and we also post the stories that we've been discussing. So Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. Next story, Steve.
Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are proposing what is called a wealth tax. I don't know if we've tackled that. Have we tackled that?
Go ahead.
I haven't.
Go ahead.
It's basically a tax.
Because it means nothing to people, to us on this panel. what are we?
It does to Ray.
Okay, Ray. Okay. So Ray's the wealthy one in the boat.
Yes, if you.
Right. Right.
Ray's a lot of things, but he ain't rich. I'll tell you that right now.
It basically what the Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax has to do, it says that if you have a net worth of over $50 million, are we close, Ray? We're close, but not quite
so
there, right?
Woo, Ray's breathing a sigh of relief.
They're going to tax 2% of your wealth annually. So this isn't like a one-time tax, but if you have a private jet or a yacht or paintings or expensive cars or property that totals $50 million or more, you're going to get a tax on that. Bill Gates would be subject to that tax. He was talking to on a forum just the other day, and this is what he had to say. This is Cut 7.
I've paid over $10 billion in taxes. I paid more than anyone in taxes. But I, you know, I'm glad to have paid, you know, if I'd had to pay $20 billion, it's fine. But, you know, when you say I should pay $100 billion, okay, then I'm starting to do a little math about what I have left over. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
But he's not. $100 million is going to, $100 billion, B-I with a B, is going
to put... This is going to be kind of humorous to watch in the next few months because most of these... People like Bill Gates, for instance, I don't know if he would consider himself a progressive. He might, and I use that in a political sense, social progressive, and a cultural sense. A lefty, okay? Put it this way. He sounds like a nice guy, guy you'd like to have as your neighbor.
Right.
But you can't afford to live in his neighborhood. But the problem that he and people like Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, and other very wealthy people are going to have, by very wealthy, I mean multimillionaires are going to have, is that they are on one side in agreement with the progressive movement, but now with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, they're waking up to the fact that these people are serious about taking our money,
yeah,
and a lot of it. And as I've said before, even godless people like money, right?
maybe especially.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to be a rift, because Bill Gates wouldn't say whether he would vote for Trump or Warren.
He didn't, huh. And that's what I was going to say. They asked him on this panel if it came down to the two of them.
And he'd vote for Trump. And that's what Mark Zuckerberg would do too, and they may not tell anybody who they voted for.
Right.
But Mark Zuckerberg said the other day, he's talking about, because Elizabeth Warren, she wants to break up Facebook.
Right.
And I'll just put in parentheses, I'm not necessarily against that. Okay, but not for the same reasons Elizabeth Warren wants to. And I don't know if I'm for it or against it. I just get angry and frustrated with Facebook sometimes, and I don't even use it personally. But the way they have shown to discriminate against conservatives, that's where I'm coming from. Elizabeth Warren's coming from class envy. They make too much money, so we need to break them up and take their money. That's where she's coming from. And so Zuckerberg was talking about this, and he Bill Gates?
Bill Gates, yes.
Like Bill Gates, he was basically saying, Zuckerberg was saying, if Elizabeth Warren's elected president, we're going to have a fight. And so I think these people that might otherwise support a Democrat candidate, and by the way, who does this help? It helps Joe Biden. Because he looks like a sane moderate compared to Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. Walker, you go and
when you start touching people's pocketbooks, things get serious.
In a big way.
You can talk policy that doesn't affect you all day long and vote for it, even though you may not like it. But this businesses, big business, let me just say that, big corporations tend to be more liberal socially, politically, they support Democrats. I'm speaking in general here. But when you talk about a politician wanting to tax as much as Elizabeth Warren is, tax big business, their votes are going to go somewhere else because they're not going to like that.
Well, Ray, Wall Street had another record.
Right.
Another record.
Booming.
Booming. I think that presidents, Democrats and Republicans alike, get too much credit and too much blame for the economy. Having said that, that is the way it works, though.
Right.
And President Trump is killing it with the stock market, and he tells you every day.
Right.
And I would, too, if I were him. And so the economy seems to be doing really, really well under President Trump. And
if it holds out 12 more months, Tim, he's going to be reelected.
Yeah,
period.
I agree with you, especially against a socialist. Right. Like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders.
You know, you know all you need to know when you say that Joe Biden is the same moderate Democratic candidate.
Compared to those people.
Well, yes, absolutely.
That's what most Americans are thinking.
Right.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes,
Ray,
sir.
Appreciate it. May the weather be nice to you.
All right, thanks.
And our thanks to Adam Suddeth for running the control board for us today. All right, Trivia Friday tomorrow, so we have a lot of fun. We'll see you back here in 22 hours and 30 minutes. Have a great day, everybody.